Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and get started so we can push through some of the boilerplate stuff. Our agenda today is pretty simple. We're going to go through the IP notes, call notes about using IRC. We've got to pick a scribe, so if you're excited about that, you can sign up now. Introductions and reintroductions, a few announcements, a quick review of action items, and then we have two outstanding work item proposals that were discussed last week. And then we're going to spend the bulk of the call on digging into the outstanding pull requests we have. Does anyone have anything to add to that agenda? Okay. Hearing none. Okay, so this is a public call. Anyone can participate, but if you've not signed the collaborators agreement, then please restrain yourself from making substantive contributions. Of course, it's free and it's easy to join. So if you want to do that, you can do that through the W3 site or contact me or any of the chairs. We do use IRC to manage our call. So there are links in there to that. Please do type in present plus or present plus. That gets you in the minutes officially as an attendee, which helps keep things clean. And then you can use Q plus to put yourself on the queue. There is a typo in the agenda we send out. If you want a reminder of what you want to talk about, you can use Q plus TO and then what you want to talk about. Like, put me on the queue to talk about blah blah blah. We left the two out in that email, and I noticed it in our last call with the BCWG call. Perfect, Manny. Thank you for the example. Okay, so that's how we use IRC. We do need a scribe. Anyone interested in being a scribe for us today? I'm going to go through the scribe list and see who I can shame up. Okay, hearing none. Okay, is Adrian Gropper with us? Adrian, you're in the top of the list.
I am. I'm a very incompetent scribe. I'm happy to try, but I don't touch type, so I'm awful at it. But I am here.
Okay. Well, why don't we have you try? At
Okay.
least it's not a prescription that you're writing, Adrian, so at least we'll be able to read what you type. Sorry, that's a joke, folks. Adrian is a physician, for those of you who don't know. Okay, and then do we have anyone new on the call who's not been with us before? We'd like to give you a chance to introduce yourself. I think Justin just joined us, although he was on the hot seat for VCWG. Anyone else new?
I'm
Manny, you
new.
want
My
Justin?
name is Margo,
Oh,
and
go
I'm a
ahead.
transmute.
Oh, great. I just saw your that you guys had joined. The chairs get a notice on that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and transmute.
Well, again, my name's Margo. I work on product with Transmute, and we're really excited to join the W3C and this community working group. And Transmute is working right now on an identity tool for enterprises that brings together verifiable credentials and business workflows to try to bring some of the self-sovereign identity world into the enterprise world. So again, we're just really happy to be here and to contribute as much as we can.
Excellent. Great. Thanks for joining us, Margo. Glad to have you and Transmute on the team. And Justin, since you are new, I know you just did this for VCWG, but if you could do it again, we'd appreciate it. Some of the folks here weren't on that call.
Yeah, no problem. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. It's a new SIP phone app. I wasn't sure if it was working. My name is Justin Richer. I've done a lot of work in standard space in other realms, done a lot of security and identity work in the IETF, OpenID Foundation, and in Kantara over the years. And I've been keeping and eye on this whole space that this working group is in for a while now, but mostly at arm's length, and looking to start getting more involved, partially at the behest of a new client who's just brought me on recently, who's interested in getting more involved in the standard side of this space.
Okay, great. Thanks, Justin. Anyone else that's new? Okay. Since we have two new ones, I'm going to exercise my prerogative and skip the reintroduction so we can get on to the rest of the item, unless someone out there really wants to reintroduce themselves. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay. All right, announcements and reminders. We have just a couple. The next Rebooting the Web of Trust is March 1st through 3rd in Barcelona, Spain. And in particular, the date is wrong. I can't believe I put that in there wrong. So in the email, we say the early bird discount ends February 8th. That's actually when the topic papers are due. The early bird discount actually ends on Thursday. So if you've gone to a Rebooting, you should have gotten an email about that. But for those of you who are not on that MailChimp, just a heads up, your easiest way to get a discount is to buy your ticket by Thursday. Directly following the Rebooting event, also in Barcelona, the Verifiable Claims Working Group is holding a two-day face-to-face. So just a heads up about that, and the link is in the agenda. If you are not a member of the working group and would like to go, there are a few limited spots. I don't know if those have all been taken, but you can reach out to the chairs of the Verifiable Claims Working Group. And then IAW, which many of us have been active participants in for years, their next event is May, if I could only read what's on the screen in front of me, April 3rd through May 2nd. So that's almost 2 months after the Rebooting. Manu, thanks, Manu. Am I going a little fast for Adrian?
I was just providing an example.
Sorry, Adrian. I'd like to get through this front matter as quick as possible so we can get into the meat of things. Kim, are you with us? I think you're queued up to run the section on action items.
Yes, and actually, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess I was unmuted all this time, which is scary. So fortunately, nothing happened. Okay, so progress on action items. I wanted to get everyone caught up on the sort of latest updates. Again, the chairs have been working on a few things to get all of our pending and marquee work items in a clearer state. So the first step was fleshing out the new proposed work items. So one thing I'll draw attention to is that some of the items that were in in the potential work items, we moved down, you'll see in the very last columns of rows of the current work items. So that includes multi-hash, hash link, multi-base, and the CTG survey. That was one that we realized had already gotten approval, so we were able to just move this one along. The ones we proposed last week and which have not received any objections, and so we'll consider them work items. Also, the chair thinks that there's significant interest and the goals are aligned. Those are GID resolution and functional identity. Joe, I did realize one issue is that we don't have another stakeholder besides you identified. So, if someone wants to volunteer for that now or afterwards, please let us know.
Did Chris take his name off the issue?
Who?
Chris.
Oh, okay, I'll put him on. Okay, perfect.
It's in the issue. Chris is there as a co-sponsor. That's what I meant by
Got it. Okay, sorry, I didn't recognize that. Cool. So those are the last of our new proposed work items. So we have nothing else in that state. The other thing I've been going through is making sure everything has the required files like licenses, code owners, and everything. So if you saw updates in your repos, that's what that was about. So I think we have sort of a baseline cleanup in place. The next step is to go through and identify things that are still in a kind of ambiguous state or need flushing through. So just a reminder, there are a few, and if you look at the table that I just sent, if you see things in a state other than iterating, like if it says need spec text or unknown, and you have interest in joining and pushing that work item along, please volunteer, especially for writing spec text. We have a training guide on that Andrew produced. And again, if you're interested in some kind of spec text party I use party loosely, but to just grind out a bunch of spec text, let's chairs know. So I'll be giving updates on sort of all the various unknown work items and hoping to get these converged within the next month or so. That's it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kim. Two things I wanted to note with the two new work item proposals. So these were proposed. We both sponsors had a chance to present them last week. We got an email out to group. We haven't gotten any negative feedback or concerns on the email list. This would be your last chance to say, oh, I think that's a horrible idea. I have a substantive objection. I don't expect that. I just wanted to make sure people had that opportunity.
You broke up on that last statement, Joe.
Okay, thanks, Adrian.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one. We were all broken up.
Okay. So for the two proposed work items that we were presented last week, this is your last chance to oppose them in our process. So these will become formal work items. I'm not expecting anyone to oppose them. We've had a lot of opportunity, but I just wanted to make sure folks had a chance in our process. Okay, so hearing nothing but crickets, that's good news. So these are now formally accepted work items for the group, and we'll be tracking them and trying to keep them moving forward. Okay, and we are doing great. Can't believe we got through that front matter that fast. Okay, so the rest of this call is going to be about our pull requests, and we've had some great work moving this forward from Amy. Amy Guy, is that right, Manny? Are you with us, Amy?
Yes.
Okay, it looks like she's an IC. So yep, thank you very much for that. So let's pull up that link. So this is the live link to our current pull request. So awesome. We had more. We're now down to four. So we're just going to go through these in reverse chronological order and get a status and see. Basically, I'm just going to time box this at 10 minutes each. We may not even need that, but let's first look at allow dids with update and delete. So this is number 55. I'll drop that into the chat. So there has been a lot of conversation on here. I did review it last week, looking to see if there's been much. There hasn't been much since April 1st. Of last year, and I don't think Drummond's comment was an April Fool's joke, but it's a dangerous day to post comments. Does anyone involved want to give a summary of where we think we're here? I know we have some change requested, and there's conflict, so I think it's a little bit out of date, and Amy tagged it as needs discussion, needs new PR. So who's on the queue? Manu? Go ahead, Manu.
Amy, did you want to take this one? I can fill in background. So I think all the pull requests at present, Amy, I'm going to defer to you unless you want me to take specific ones.
Yeah, sure. I don't know the answer to this one. It's not clear what the consensus is. So as soon as there is a clear consensus, then I can rebase it and get it merged. I just don't know what it should be.
Okay, so I have a proposal to push by the group or to push into the group to see what if there's any pushback on that. So I think the only opposition to this was from Drummond to say that, you know, the part of the thing about decentralized identifiers is you can do like key rotation, you can update it, and you can do all that kind of stuff. And therefore having a DID method that did not support update and delete, or update and deactivate if it's on a ledger of some kind, didn't make sense. I'm going to suggest that it still makes sense, right? So we have some use cases where people may want to create a one-time use decentralized identifiers where they just kind of publish and they put it out there and then nothing happens to them. And that it's not a requirement for the DID spec to support update and delete/deactivate. We can put text in there, like warning text, to note that, hey, you know, it's a good idea for you to support this. It enables many more things to be done with the decentralized identifier. And that's the proposal. It's support DID methods, allow DID methods that create and read, but not update and delete, and then put some editorial text in there saying we don't suggest it, we don't recommend it, but it's legal/legitimate to have such a method. So any strong pushback on that?
Okay, I'm saying I'm the only one in the queue, so I don't have strong pushback, but I have two notes, a note and a suggestion. One is, unfortunately, Chris is doing a workshop today, and he did express an email, his argument for why he felt not having update and delete sort of made it not a valid DID. So I think he's more in the Drummond camp. So I just wanted to note that, and it's too bad he's not here to be able to present his perspective on your suggestion, Manu. The other thing I would suggest is I would like to see in your proposal, Manu, if this is a friendly amendment, that it be should, but that we have a must, that they must state whether or not update or delete is possible.
Yep, we can do that.
I don't want people looking through the method spec wondering, can you update this or not? Yep. And I guess I want to share my thoughts on this. And, you know, we have 10 minutes to talk about this. I don't know if anyone else has strongly held opinions. I don't know if Drummond, if you're here, I'd love to see you on the queue. To me, the issue is, do we want DIDs to be a universal plugin for a wide range of identifiers that don't necessarily – well, for a broad range of identifiers. We say in the spec that DIDs do not need to be decentralized. I think that's a greater breaking statement than whether or not they can be updated or deleted. If it's reasonable for the U.S. Postal Service to create a centralized DID method, or Social Security or whoever, which we have in the spec now, unless someone can correct me and tell me that I'm off base, that's my recollection. I think that's a bigger breaking variant than the fact that you can't delete it or update it. So that's my comment. Marcus, you're next.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I wanted to say basically the same thing. So I could see us allowing DIDs that don't support update and delete. I think that could make sense sometimes to allow that. It's also, yeah. So these did methods that are being proposed that are basically just wrapped public keys. I think there's some value in that. I also think it's interesting from a DIDS resolution point of view because it illustrates that DIDS and DIDS resolution don't necessarily have to be based on a blockchain, which a lot of people still think. So if we have these kinds of DIDS that are just wrapped public keys and also other kinds of DIDS, such as the microledger off-chain peer DIDS that are also being proposed, I think it adds some diversity in the sense that these these identifiers are still decentralized but not based on a blockchain. So I think that's probably a good thing. At the same time, I also think it's a bigger problem, like you said, Joe, to have DIDs that are not decentralized, right? Whether they are issued by a government or registered in a central registry, or some people are talking about DID methods that use country codes. Some people, I think, are working on DIDs that somehow wrap HTTPS certificates, all these things that are not really decentralized. I agree that's a bigger problem.
Great. Thank you, Marcus.
Hey there.
Daniel.
Question. So I definitely think the update case is something where you could argue like, okay, well, maybe there's no ability to update. Delete seems difficult. One question I would have, and I'll ask another question before people answer, how do we define delete? Because I think there could be no ability to do that in a lot of systems. And I do agree with folks that I think the pressing issue is trying to define or hopefully define some barrier for what a DID can't be. You know, we've had people within our own, you know, parts of our organization that say, well, why can't a URL or an email be wrapped as a decentralized identifier? And, you know, I would love it if we could come up with some sort of, you know, really deterministic, you know, empirical definition for the very minbar of like what is the definition between something that's centralized or just lightly decentralized, because there's got to be some sort of line that we can draw. So those are my two questions.
Cool.
Delete. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's good. Thanks, Daniel. Johnny?
Yeah, I think reading through the pull request, I think Pelle's point was about IoT devices, so that you have harder process to actually update or delete them. So it's really just like ephemeral for capability systems.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just the delete, Johnny, that hard is like, if something is like IPFS, then how would you ever, I mean, I guess you could like put something on a ledger that says, please, I am not this anymore, but then everyone could continue propagating that data regardless of what you think, I guess. That is why I found delete to be sort of esoteric.
But I think the idea was, going, this goes back into the rebooting web of trust with Mark Miller, so like the idea of a capability system where you invoke a device, an IoT device that is actually having some role, and at the has that role has an expiration. So it's an ephemeral DID that you can't update, but it actually has a purpose that is automated, that it is, you just can't update it or delete it, but it has a finite ability to do its performance action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to freeze the queue. I don't know technically how to do that, but Manu, you're up.
Mostly to respond to Daniel. So delete here is defined as in, like, if it's on a ledger, it's really deactivate, since you can't delete anything on some of these DLT ledgers. So I think we're really talking about, like, deactivate. And in some cases, like the centralized cases, it is possible to actually delete a DID and wipe it from existence. So that's the first comment. I think, you know, we need to come up with a better word than delete, and we're probably going to replace it with like deactivate. And there are many ways that you can kind of deactivate, like, wipe all the authentication keys from it, or the, you know, capability update mechanisms from the DID document so that you can't make any more writes. Like mathematically, it's impossible to do it. Because there's no, you know, authentication or OCAP keys left in the DID document. So that that's what we mean by delete. Did without jumping into the discussion around can we define what decentralized means? I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because that's not the issue that we're talking about. But I think there's a decision that the community is going to have to make. It's, do we want this specification to be used very, very broadly, even if it's used in ways that we didn't really intend it to be used in? So, for example, if and this is let me pick a better one. Let's say that there's an email thing, right? I mean, it's arguable that that's decentralized or not. People argue that DNS isn't decentralized. Others argue that it is. So you could conceive of a way that kind of runs afoul of what this community is trying to do with decentralized identifiers. But what they're doing meets the spec in every other way, right? So there's a philosophical disagreement, but the way that they've implemented the technology is completely conformant with the spec. And I'd suggest that we try to be as inclusive as possible with our technology rather than making people that, for example, don't fit the true definition of decentralization, pushing them out of the community and forcing them to effectively build the same technology, same spec, but call it something else. So anyway, focus on inclusivity versus, you don't fit the definition of decentralized, therefore you can't play with us. There are ways of suggesting what we would like people to do and what the best practices are without being exclusive about it or excluding about it. And I forgot my third point, so that's it.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Okay, so I was going to say just about what Manny just said, which is that I think we win by establishing DIDs more broadly and by bringing more people under the tent and having libraries that can handle DIDs that may not meet some notion of decentralized. We're not talking about distributed identity. We're talking about decentralized. And part of that decentralized is that you can plug in any method DID when someone asks for a DID. And I think that's the core point of decentralization. The second point is hopefully it's based on a decentralized architecture. But I don't think that's a requirement. And I think we win if we are more broad in our inclusion. Okay, so that was the time box we had for 55. So we're going to turn our attention over to other pull requests. I do see a few notes in the IRC. By all means, I don't mean to shut that conversation off, but in terms of what we're talking about, I want to go talk about number 106, which is designed to address number 85. And Amy, you want to give us a summary of where that's at?
Yeah, my understanding of this one is that some of this stuff will go in the DID resolver spec, and some of everything else is not yet resolved, so it's still open and needs further discussion. And I believe Dimitri has opinions on this one.
Okay, Manu, you're on the queue.
So I think we're just waiting. One of the main things that this does is it modifies the URI definition, so the DID URI definition, and adds DID service to it. So that's something that we do absolutely need in the URI definition, but Amy's correct. A lot of the bulk of this goes into probably DID resolution specifications and shouldn't go in the core data model spec. So we do need to get this into the spec in some way. But where we talk about how, a DID resolver uses that information to provide a different, to map it to a different URL is out of scope. So I think we can probably merge this in, but we need to have one more discussion because I forget where we landed on the actual URI looks like. And Dimitri is doing a minus one. So we need to have those discussions.
Dimitri, you want to, you can put yourself on the queue, or you can just start talking.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so like Manu and Amy said, I think this needs more discussion and consensus from the group. There's a couple of options, a couple of ways we can go, and I don't think the PR should be merged until we decide which one it is. That's it.
Okay. You know, this bumps into an issue that I want to make a comment on as well, which unless there have been changes from some recent pull requests, which I don't think there are, but it seems really odd to me that the top level of the ABNF is a DID reference and not a DID. So, I mean, I guess this affects the ABNF, but to me, that's part of the question. I think this ABNF is a little wacky.
So just to add to that, the ABNF currently includes the service URI definition. So it's like already built into the ABNF and needs to be discussed and untangled. I agree.
Well, the service, looking at the diff on this PR, the service is what this PR is adding.
Yes, but it's not visible in this PR, but the current spec as is, the ABNF already includes in it provisions for the service endpoint.
Wait, so I'm confused. I don't think it does. I mean, so here's the
way. It does. It's kind of hidden
in there. So did reference, so I think this ABNF is just a mess. The DID reference specifies DID service, but we do not have a DID service lower in the ABNF.
Exactly. It's sort of assumed to be part of the query and fragment mechanism. So, yes, more discussion.
Did anyone jump on the queue? Okay. Yeah, I mean, so my thought about that ABNF and, you know, why he did reference on the top, a URL includes all the stuff that goes after it, you know, after it, quote unquote, in terms of query terms and anchor terms. The whole thing is a URL. So it seems to me the top level, the DID should be all of that stuff, and it seems like we've broken it down in a weird way. So we only have a couple more minutes on this topic, but I'm not seeing a whole bunch of folks on the queue. Anyone else have anything to add? For you, Adrian, I guess I can also just go question mark, the whole DID. You know, if you look at the URL spec, the top level of the ABNF is URL, colon, and all the types of sub-URLs that are valid URLs. So we still need more discussion on that. Does anyone have a proposal? Does this just mean we should talk more on the issue? How might we move this forward?
We probably, the folks that have a strong opinion about this, need to get together and have a discussion. I know I've had one-on-one discussions with like five different people about this. Clearly we're not on the same page. So, Dimitri, would you mind taking lead on this?
Not at all.
Putting a PR together with your thoughts? I'm confused because I don't see that, like, I'm looking at the spec right now, the actual published spec, and there's nothing about DID service. Were you talking in the PR?
No. I'm talking in the ABNF itself. The query part of it is assumed to be talking about the service endpoint. This came out in discussions with Marcus. I didn't realize that before.
Okay. Let's think offline because I'm still confused. I don't see it at all in the current spec.
No problem. So my question to you, I'm happy to take lead on this. My question is, do we do polls among the community? Like, what's our, how do we get consensus?
Make a concrete proposal that that works for everybody, and then it's easier to talk around that than to just poll, do an open
Got
poll.
Got it. Okay. Yes, I can do a PR for this.
Well, Manny, didn't you suggest that we should have a conversation? I mean, maybe we should arrange a call.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean,
I didn't want to eat.
A whole new. If you have a whole new AB&F that you think is consistent and solid, but I'm not sure we have consensus as to what would be a good AB&F, much less the errors that might be in the one we have.
And we've had a lot of discussion internally about this. That's the only reason I'm suggesting that we make a proposal, because I think we've gotten, I know Dave Longley and I have gotten to the point where we're like, that looks solid. And then I feel like Dimitri and Dave Longley had a conversation where that might have also happened. That covers the sovereign and Evernym use cases as well. Unfortunately, it looks like a super simple discussion, but it balloons into a very complex one quickly.
No, I'm great with that. I can see how it can become a long conversation. And if you guys have had some detailed conversation to tease out a few of the edge cases, then I'd love to see a proposal. Maybe make a new PR and we can close this one. Dimitri, you signed up for that?
Yes.
And we have a couple of folks on the queue. So I'm going to freeze the queue here because we're past our time box. But go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, it may be already covered by what Dimitri is going to do. I mean, yes, the AB&F is not correct. And to actually make the AB&F correct, you need to start sort of at the top level with the existing definitions of what URIs are and figure out where to add pieces in. We are specifically defining a scheme. And so we need to be careful to define the scheme and not redefine a URI structure, okay? But the more important thing is to decide what it is that we actually want to specify. The AB&F can be written once we actually know what it is that we want to have control over, and in what ways this is not a standard URI. That's the most important bit.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Ken?
So are you looking to replace the entirety, the B&F that's in there, or are you looking to overhaul what's in there? Correct or replace?
To my view, it's pretty broken. I think Dan just suggested it's pretty broken, which to my mind, both of us overhauled. Dimitri, do you want to answer what you think your proposal will be?
I'm not sure what the line between those two are.
That's fair.
So can't answer that yet.
Yeah, Ken, I think you might be asking a different question than what folks are answering. It's not going to massively change what it did looks like. It's the parser, and the thing that's missing now is it's questionable whether a service description is missing, but let's say if it is missing, it's going to be added in. But it's not like the entire way that DIDs are constructed is going to change in some drastic way, where this is nitpicky, like spec stuff.
You're attempting to change the B&F to accurately describe what everybody's agreed on, including
correct.
The service.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, so we're wrapped on that. Let's look at the next pull request. So this is number 110. And Manu, you want to introduce it instead of Amy? Or was that an old one?
Sure. So this is actually, it's great that Johnny Crunch is on the phone today. So the suggestion here is that we close the PR that you put in primarily because we think that the only modification that's needed is in the way that you talk about an IPFS URL. So the suggestion here is that let me point to something. So this is what you suggested.
Manu, if I could interrupt, could you explain it to folks who don't know what the issue is?
Sure. So the issue was like, how can we point to something on IPFS in general? And that means like, how can we do content addressed JSON-LD context so that they can't change? Jonathan, please correct me if I'm wrong. I think like reading through it, that's the core of what I think is being suggested, is how can we make this work nicely with IPFS? And the only thing that's necessary is for IPFS to publish a URL scheme that we can just use with at context in the JSON-LD. So it's like, if IPFS has a URL scheme, we can just reuse it and the problem's solved. The problem solved for linking the keys, the problem solved for linking the context, and all that kind of stuff. And even if you suggest that the problem's not solved, the new HashLink spec also addresses this issue. So I think that there are no changes needed to the specification, no technical changes needed to the specification. We may want to elaborate on how the problem could be addressed. And since we're already working with the Protocol Labs folks, I'm editing the multi-hash and multi-base spec, we can just come up with another spec for an IPFS URL scheme. I know multiple of them exist, but you know, we could, if needed, we can add that. So the suggestion is to just close the PR, and then, Jonathan, it's up to you. If you feel like we need to explain how we do like content address, pointing to content address things in the spec, then we should create a new PR in the spec to talk about how we point to content addressed content. So let me stop there and see if that would be okay with you, Jonathan.
Yeah, so I think what I suggested was to have a slash that actually would represent the content, and it's actually on IPLD, not on IPFS. So the URI IPFS :// would work, and that is now, I think, on the path for standardization through IETF. But this is specifically for content within the DID document, and maybe verify the claims as well, that is cryptographic content addressable, which basically is the accumulation of multi-hash, et cetera, that are actually already work topics. So so it's not really specific to IPFS, because you could have this work on other hash-based identifiers. This one just happens to be, you know, a suggestion for it to work with IPLD, directly linking to a content addressable payload that also allows it to be not vulnerable to DNS spoofing attacks, so man-in-the-middle attacks. So that was, I think, the first half of the thread of discussion. The second half has to do with how we index arrays. And I think, ultimately behind the scenes, IPLD uses CBOR. And so it's a serialized JSON, binary JSON. So it's deterministic. And I think the issue in just raw JSON, if you publish the JSON to IPFS, it's the cryptographic identifier, it is not deterministic, because if you have a space in there, or if you have the index of the array in a different order, then it's going to be, you're going to get a different hash. So indexing the array as objects would be deterministic when serializing to CBOR.
Okay, so let me ask you, Johnny, what do you feel about Manu's suggestion that this particular PR, maybe we can just close it, but we need to change how we talk about it? Or do you think there is still spec text that we should change?
Well, I think, the it's still valid JSON, and it actually is, from my understanding, it's still valid JSON-LD. You can have an object as a at context value. So it really would be just reserving the slash.
Yeah. So here's the technical reason we can't do that. It's not a URI. So we would have to modify the JSON-LD standard to add that, and I know they're going to say no to it because you can't start URLs with slash or URIs with slash. It's just like that ship sailed, like, you know, many, many years ago, a decade plus ago. So you have to conform to the URI spec, and what you wrote there does not conform to the URI spec, and there's no amount of pleading that's going to make them change their minds. So what I'm saying is, like,
this is just my sort of challenge, which is it's very much, I know this is W3C, so it very much is conforming to the HTTP protocol, but this is just an object, the key to an object.
Yeah, it's not HTTP, this is not W3C, it's ITF, and it's the URI spec, right? So I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're, the way that you're constructing the solution is not going to fly at ITF, it's not going to fly at W3C, but I see a very clear way of supporting what you want to do, which is an IPLD link. Like, there's a straightforward solution to this, it's just not the thing that you're suggesting, right? So if we did IPLD and then this, like if we did that, it would be totally fine. Like, we could do that, right? We just need a URL scheme. So if we did, let me put it into the context, IPLD, like if, one second. So if we said, hold on one second. So there's an example. If we did that, that's totally fine, right? And that's effectively what you put in there without the starting off as a forward slash. And that would be, like, we could get it through ITF, we could get it through W3C, we wouldn't have to change JSON-LD processors, the spec. Like, that's a super light lift. But what you proposed there is like an almost impossible lift. Does that make sense? Like, we can get exactly what you want.
So right now IPFS colon is gone through IETF. IPLD hasn't. It's still sort of been, it's actually going to be in a rewrite, a refactor right now. So I think, so I'm open to that as long as it works. And I think, I think it's really ultimately, it's again, just the entire payload is linked. And it's cryptographically verifiable. So it's the entire content is including paths to different objects with pointers is all can be resolved and validated without it actually requiring a central point of failure.
Yeah, I mean, and we already have that through the linked data signatures, linked data proof stuff. So we have a mechanism to do that. We have been working with the CBOR expressions of it. We have a JOT-based expression that does that as well. So I feel like we've got this problem covered. I feel very confident that we've got the problem covered. The only thing that's missing is the IPLD URI scheme.
Okay, and I suppose I can work with Juan with getting that through IETF next.
Yep.
Now, what about the second half of this, which is the indexing of arrays within the DID document?
Well, so that one we're going to have to, it depends on what your canonicalization algorithm is, or if you do canonicalization, and what you're suggesting is there is a canonicalization algorithm in play. You're suggesting that you use CBOR, whereas the linked data proof stuff tries not to depend on CBOR's organization of the way CBOR does like canonicalization, which again, like in some cases, is not deterministic, right? So there's some really scary underbelly parts there that don't actually work that we have to spend a lot of time kind of going through. Now, what we do know is that the canonicalizations that we have right now have mathematical proofs and they do work. And that's what we've been using for the past, you know, 6+ years. So if we're suggesting a new canonicalization mechanism for DID documents, you know, the same amount of effort has to be put into that. You know, we need mathematical proofs demonstrating that the algorithms are correct. They terminate. They cover all the cases. It's not a light lift the other approach, of course, is the Base64ing Jot stuff, which again we know has limitations. So what it sounds like you're proposing is a new canonicalization algorithm, and in order to propose that, there has to be quite a bit of work to demonstrate that that canonicalization algorithm works. What we have right now for DID documents is we have mechanisms to address those issues. That doesn't resort to, you know, having to use CBOR and that sort of stuff. So I think that's a bit more of a discussion.
We need to wrap up. We need to time box this. It's not clear to me if we want to add some spec text to explain what you just talked about, but it seems like that might be a good idea. Could one of you propose next steps on this?
Yeah, I'm happy to propose next steps as long as Jonathan's fine with them. So Jonathan, would it be okay with you if we outline how you link the content address content from a DID document? That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, you know, how do you make sure that the DID document is canonicalized properly? And we have multiple different ways to do that.
I outline it in my paper from the last rebooting web trust and some of my concerns and why we've resorted to using CBOR for the serialization with IPLD. And I think in the paper I did talk about the current algorithm for canonicalization with the arrays. And I think, So in halfway down, there's actually the description of that algorithm. And I think just indexing the arrays makes it so much easier where you don't have to go through this four-step process. So and how about just some feedback from the paper? Christian and Kim is on this paper too. And we can argue the merits of it.
Okay, so Manu,
I'll let you take the next steps with regard to this PR. So if you can add some notes there, it sounds like there might still need to be more conversation. Okay, yep. So thank you guys for that conversation. Hopefully this next one won't take too much time because we're running out of time. But this is updates to URIs, URLs, and URN section. Amy, you want to introduce it?
Yeah, what came out of the discussion on this PR was that there's some more clarification of various terms in the spec and possibly some restructuring of the spec that needs to happen. So I'm going to make a new PR that does that in the next couple of weeks and then close this one when that's ready.
Okay. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on in here. Does anyone else? The queue is full. So go ahead, Dimitri.
I propose we remove the paragraph that says a DID is a URI and a URL, etc. I would posit that implementers and so on do not need and do not care. So yes, that's it.
Okay. Next. Sorry. Who's next? Marcus.
So myself, on a number of occasions, I've told people that these are URIs that are both URLs and URNs. Apparently, that was a mistake since they are not URNs. But still, I find it interesting to clarify the relationship and what exactly dates are. So I wonder if perhaps it would be appropriate to say that dates are URIs that combine the benefits of both URLs and URNs, something like that, to make the point that they are both persistent and dereferenceable.
I see. So a shift in the language, but not a deletion. Okay. Michael, Herman?
Hi. I put two links in there. At 10:53, there's one called relevant PR one number 59 comment thread, and that's where Manu and I had a discussion about you know, the fact that the DIDs aren't URNs, and the way the spec is written, they're not URIs either. When you go back to the baseline, you know, specifications. And so the second link that I put in at 1054 is a proposed next steps by Manu, that we really need to separate the specs into like an identifier part and a protocol part, and basically restructure what the DID specification looks like today. And maybe Manu can jump in and just comment on that, because he articulated it fairly well.
Okay, I just want to comment, and I don't know if I was looking at the latest URL spec, but the top level ABNF for URL lists all the valid URLs. So there's a file URL and an FTP URL, and which means DIDs are not URLs, right? I think the language Mark has suggested is correct about the benefits of URLs, but I think technically it's not a URL.
But they're also not URIs, and they're not URN based on the way the DID spec is written today and the way that those baseline specifications are written.
Right. Okay. Manu?
Yeah, so I think there's some disagreement around that. They're certainly not URNs. The desire is to make sure that they're URLs. It depends on which spec that you look at. So you can't, you know, there have been many definitions for IRI and URI and URL over the past 20 years, and we need to be very careful about saying that something is or is not, because it, depending on the year, that changes. So the thing that we care about is that a DID is something that you can look up in some way or derive a DID document from in some way. And as a result of that, you know, it's the loose definition of URL. It meets that loose definition. We spent a lot of time looking at the ITF URI spec and believe that it's a URI as well. So anyway, like there's kind of specy academic nitpicking that can happen there. And I'm gonna shove that discussion off to a different discussion. So let's focus on what Michael noted, which is we do need to split the DID spec up into a section that just talks about the identifier and whether or not it's a URI, URL, that kind of thing. We have to have a section of it that's just data model, so it doesn't talk about things like syntaxes. We need to have a section in there that talks about the syntaxes, how the DID document data model can be expressed in, you know, JSON, CVOR, or XML if required. And then we can have another section on like what DID method specs need to do, and then another section that says, hey, if you're interested in DID resolution, go read this other specification. And we're going to try and break it up in that way so that if we do need to split the spec up into multiple different parts, they're just very clear delineations for that. So it seems like there's general buy-in for restructuring the spec like that. And I think Amy, thank you very much, Amy, has taken the action item to put in a PR to do just that. And that's it.
Okay, great. So should we leave this PR open then until we get Amy's new PR, and then we can mark that this is addressing this conversation?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds great. Does anyone have any strongly held objections to that? It seems like a reasonable path forward to me. We could move the debate to that second PR and pull out our knives and have the fight there. Okay, well, that was excellent. I'm glad we were able to get through that in the 5 minutes or so we had. This was awesome. Thank you all so much for your contributions. It is 10 o'clock on the dot. And that's a wrap, folks. Thank you all.
Appreciate it. I'm going to go take a shower.
Thanks so
much. And thank you very much, Adrian. You did a great job. I appreciate that.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Adrian.